SV Pod is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $700 on average. Call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. Welcome, it's SV Pod. Stanford Steve is here. We're getting back to something closer to a normal schedule, which is good. I'm a creature of habit, aren't I, Steve? You hear that laugh right there,
folks? The best part is that you know it.
Yep.
And everyone else does too, and that's what makes it work. But we couldn't give the people too much. Like, we taped Thursday, and you know, they can't have another one Monday. We gotta get something to chew, let them chew on something, you know?
Also needed to wait for the wild card weekend, pardon me, super wild card weekend to be done, which it was. It was a fun weekend. Most impressive team was who? Dallas, right?
Yeah. With what was riding, yeah. I just still am heartbroken for the Ravens. I can't believe they give that effort and they lose on a 98-yard fumble return. We'll talk about that. But yeah, let's go Cowboys. Cowboys.
That was as stunning a result as there could be. I mean, you're going to be ahead 7, instead you're down 7. I mean, it's just not supposed to happen. And it did. Because of what's riding, because they played like absolute cheeks against Washington the week before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many people saw it because there's a lot going on that Sunday. I mean, people, if you're watching Red Zone, however
you I was in LA watching Broncos Chargers. That was our game out there.
That's too bad because that was not a great one. But Washington Dallas wasn't any good either because Washington kicked their ass. And McCarthy said as much. And Dak said as much afterwards when he was talking about his kicker, saying he was giving money Maher, don't worry about it. You're good. I played like last week too. Well, yeah, you did. Dak was horrible. And the stakes can't be higher, man.
No.
Troy's in the building. Last time they won a road playoff game, he's beaten Steve Young 30 years ago. That's insane. For a franchise we talk about as incessantly as we do, they've done nothing for that long. I said in our show meeting, I said, the Cowboys are the Knicks. We talk a lot about them. What do they ever do? I mean, it can make you mad. Just like, that's not my opinion. I'm just looking at the wall and look at the results.
Correct.
So they had to do something and did. And they did it pretty emphatically. Their defense, which is, you've been pointing out, been concerning.
Yeah.
Looked the part against Tampa. Maybe part of that's what they're up against. We'll get to the Brady piece in a minute. But all credit to Dak. All credit to Kellen Moore. I thought he was great. Their coordinator had great play calls, great designs. McCarthy, people love to crush that guy. He was aggressive early, worked.
His team was ready.
For certain.
You know, like
they flushed,
you talked about
they flushed
it.
Called last
them out
week.
Earlier in the week.
Yep.
Exactly. And they knew they had an extra day to stew on it. And they came out with an attitude, man. Like we were watching those first couple series. Both teams had the ball twice. And then there was the fourth punt. And there was 10 minutes left on the clock. And I said, oh, boy.
Hard to do in the NFL.
Rock 'em, sock 'em.
Hard to have four possessions in less than 5 minutes of game time. But then there was a penalty for roughing. Mm-hmm. It put Dallas on the Tampa Bay side of the field. And it was like they were off and running. Mm-hmm. And all credit to him. All credit to him. The kicking piece is wild because that kicker, he's a good kicker. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you had Jerry Jones said, no, he's done enough good ones. They're not going to run him. I mean, I don't think you want to be trotting out kickers the week before you go play San Francisco. I also think you'd love to see him sort that out. That became really, I felt like America was watching, hoping Dallas would score just to see what would happen. No joke. Like, I think it's
never happened before.
No. Well, it's rare. I saw an interesting, I think it might've been Brandel Shambly on Twitter, which was a fascinating question. Do people love to watch great players do great things, or is there some part in people that they enjoy maybe more watching someone who's great at something suddenly not be able to do it? I think there's this you think it's that, right?
No doubt. I mean, just look at the U.S. Open in golf. People love when those guys are out there grinding, trying to stay below par, and that course is just eating them alive. People love that.
Yeah,
I don't. I like to see greatness, Scott.
So do I.
So I get it, though. People, golf, I think, is totally different in the essence of so many more people can play it later in their lives.
How many
lives.
People? No one listening to us right now can make a 50-yard field goal. Now somebody's going to tweet us and go, I played for college and I made. Okay, you can. Most people listening can't.
No.
So there's, but most of you have probably played golf, or at least a lot of you have. So that's correct. That's a great analogy, but it just adds an interesting subplot for them as they go out and play for San Francisco. I asked Troy this question and his answer was it could, but, and my point was, look, they haven't been good in the playoffs. They've lost at home. But they've been at home and they've been favorites. And the pressure of that is massive. Now they're playing the hottest team in football. They're underdogs. Can that free you up to just go let it rip?
Absolutely.
And Troy and Joe were so great all year long. Such mm-hmm. a blast to talk to those guys. And Troy's got a smile on his face. He's like, yeah, I could, but. And he's in an interesting spot. You know, he's an all-time legend.
Yep.
We all know what he did there. And he kept saying over and over, look, this is their time. It's their chance to make mm-hmm. to make it their thing. And I'm certain that there's a big part of him wants and roots for that to happen. How could you not? You know, you wore that star on the side of your head.
Yeah.
It's Staubach. It's you. I mean, there's more, but I mean, the legends, it's a short list. And I'm sure he'd love to see Dak become that. And Dak was great on Monday night.
Sure was. And that was my biggest point coming into the game was, first off, it's really, really hard. It happens in NBA playoffs. It happens at the end of the NFL season, and then the playoffs come. It's the hardest thing to do is forget what you saw a team look like the week prior. It's so hard to do.
How hard is it to forget if you're the one who did it? That's, you know what I'm saying?
Not hard at all.
Really?
Not hard at all, because you're going back the next day. You're watching the tape. You know where you messed up.
All right.
And you know what you have to do in order for that not to happen again.
Okay.
And I just think it's ingrained. You have motivation to not let it happen again. You're going to have certain periods in practice or more individual where those things are brought up and assessed in a different way. And coaches, that's the beauty of coaching. Coaches go about that different ways. But when the underdog thing here is, yeah, I think they benefit off it. I also think as this thing in a snowball as it goes ahead, as the Cowboys being this force going, I think this is it for this group. I mean, you see Dan Quinn being rumored, Kellen Moore's being rumored.
Yep.
Like there's a locker room you could see building now that they got this one. And now it's like, all right, now we go. And here
maybe.
Comes the, yep. Here comes Big Bad San Francisco. But yeah. Like I said, you got confidence in yourself. You got your quarterback healthy. That defense looked a hell of a lot better last night. I thought that had a lot to do with Tampa, but just they know what they're up against. They were that close last. I totally forgot about that. That was the game of the Dak, scrambling.
The end game mayhem.
And so I think Dallas is going to go on the road and play well. Now, can they do it for 60? That's what the difference is in the NFL playoffs. And
if you've learned anything listening to us, the key thing in life is you got to sign up for 60. Okay. Sign up for 60.
Yes.
Not 58, not 59, 30. All right. 60. Mm-hmm. Right? Cause that's what life compels us to do. Sign mm-hmm. up for 60. From the other results of the weekend.
Yeah.
I'm afraid I'll ping pong around too much if I just go to AFC stuff.
Yeah,
I want to try to tick these off in order, not necessarily. But let's just talk San Francisco because that's who Dallas gets next. Mm-hmm. That game was really wild because it's right there for Seattle.
Yeah.
They called an illegal man downfield on a completion to Lockett that I want to say got it to like the 5. And were there men downfield? Yeah, there were. If you want to call that, it's like holding. You can call it 20 times a game.
Yep.
And that backs Seattle up. Bosa gets the strip, and was Debo the one that got the next one? It's hard to remember because it was just an absolute avalanche. But Seattle had them in mm-hmm. a game, and they're in the red zone.
Yep.
And then wheels fell off. San Francisco. We know the defense. Speaking of guys that are in the cycle, D'Amico Ryan's going to get a gig.
Yep.
Going to get the one. I hope he gets a great one because it'd be a blast to see him get a great team to be in charge of. Mm-hmm. I'd like Quinn too, also. Like, you're going to get that 28-3 hanging around your neck forever. No, I'd love for him to get a chance to put that behind him. But neither here nor there. The San Francisco story, and you said it in winners because you and I both picked Seattle. Mm-hmm. Was the only game I lost, 3-1.
Why do you pick Miami?
No big deal.
Because I did. Take him or don't.
Yeah.
You said at some point Brock Purdy's got to just be average, right? Like, mm-hmm. maybe not.
Well, he wasn't good in the first half.
He was.
And that's why you saw Seattle, I thought, take advantage. And I just love the idea of a Seattle and a Miami that we could talk about. Mm-hmm. But, like, the idea of relying, say, you know, you know you're the underdog and you're going to rely on your defense to keep you in the game. It feels like that NFL's gone. You know, like – Geno comes out. He's slinging it around. DK makes plays. They got Lockett involved. They started getting the run game going. Like that, it shows like a not fear, and I think that's Pete Carroll, and I think Mike McDaniel was great with it too, knowing that you are a big underdog and you are going to have to score in order to win this game, whereas it always felt like in years past defense, teams were going to rely on their defense and hang around in games. This was a showing for me where it stood out, where Seattle was not going to be afraid. Everybody knew they had two games against them, one touchdown. So I thought I was impressed with Seattle, but this San Francisco deal, whether it's the offensive line or the defensive line, you got to line up and keep lining up because they just keep coming after you.
60.
And when I look at this matchup with Dallas for 60 minutes, I think San Francisco, when they get that perimeter run game going with Kittle and Juszczyk and guys the size of Debo and Ayuk, that's a scary thing for corners and safeties that got to come up. And I think you're going to see a heavy dose of that stuff, knowing how versatile McCaffrey is, and Mitchell getting him back. He looks great. So I think Dallas knows that, but they're going to have to get a great, great effort of in their back end, because they're going to be able to confuse Purdy. They're going to get pressure on Purdy, but you have to tackle those Niners. And they are just Kittle, Debo, McCaffrey. They get in the open field. They don't go down.
Yeah, that's a great point. They don't have an easy dude to corral.
No.
Not one.
No.
They really don't. And then behind McCaffrey, the guys that they got running are all running with fury as well. That's a wagon at the moment with San Francisco. And what a cool thing. It's the Niners and the Cowboys again. They've hooked up through generations. There've been many different layers with the all-time greats competing. It was fun to show Aikman those highlights because he and Joe were talking about it last night, but I was like, let's take a look at this. And it's like Aikman to Emmett. It's Young to Rice. You know what I mean?
You want to talk about talent.
Oh my God.
Being efficient on offense.
A lot of gold jackets on that field.
I you want to talk about hate. We do that a lot on this.
Yeah, you got
those Cowboys teams. You talk about hating because they were so damn good. And no one like even brings up the idea of their defense and the guys they had on, like, they just had everything. Every week they were so hard to beat. Gosh, they were good.
It's fun because I have a ton of, having gone to Maryland, there's a ton of Giant friends in my timeline.
Oh.
Yeah, it's going to be.
Have you heard from them recently?
I mean, it's just excruciating. I also
a lot more than usual. We'll just say
I also have a bunch of Eagle fans. So what a fun week this is. Bang, bang, bird gang. We got the G-men and we got the Eagle fans. I'm just sitting. I got nothing to say, but it's just, could I not be on the thread this week?
You can remove yourself.
Yeah, I've done that once before.
Yeah.
But then.
All right, here you go.
Yeah.
Who would you rather watch the game with, your Giants friends or
Eagle
your
friends?
Oh.
Eagle friends.
Because they're nicer?
No, because they listen to podcasts. They listen to pod. And we'll get it. I'll get an early morning text from one of them.
I think those Giants fans, though, they got like guys that could listen to the pod and like give them cliff notes too. So you got to be careful of those guys.
Well, I'll just say this. One of my Giants friends, like if we get to watch at his place in Cabo or his place in Vegas, then I'd rather watch. I mean, is it a home game?
I don't know if you'll make it to the full 60 minutes. You want to sign up for 60? Sign up for 60. That's a whole different.
Not
60
with that guy
out there.
No, that 60 with him is, I'm not built for it. not built for it. But this is very inside the beltway. What we're talking about is Giants Eagles running it back for a third time. And I was reminded of when Washington was a different version of themselves. They were known as the Redskins. They were Super Bowl contenders. God, the Giants Washington rivalry was fun. And certainly the Dallas rivalry, I think through the years was one of the great rivalries in football. But when it was at its peak, and you know, the Washington is the one NFC East team is not playing this week.
Yeah.
I'm interested if people are going to talk themselves into the Giants having a chance against Philly this week because of what they saw last week, forgetting that they were playing against the Vikings defense. That's just awful.
That's a great point. Great point. Because I just wonder about Philly and them possibly not being the team we saw come out and smash the Vikings early in the year and roll through teams.
They smashed the Giants week 14, beat them 48-22, man. I'm with you. I think that losing hurts for a couple of weeks. I mean, we joke about me being a creature of habit and routines. I mean, the NFL, there's no more routine based thing than the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing more routine based than that league. And they had it cooking. Grease was hot, buddy. And then, you know, not that Minshew wasn't bad or anything. I'm not saying that. But, you know, you just lose the momentum that you have of and if you don't buy momentum, it's a confidence based thing. And I'm with you there. I wonder about that. But I don't wonder about the Giants against the Eagles. I mean, I saw it, you know.
Yeah. They're not
playing Minnesota again. Minnesota's defense, there's a reason we all doubted you all year. There's a reason you guys got mad at us for pointing out the point differential. And you guys had one game to win, and you didn't.
Mm. No, they didn't. And just the Giants are dangerous, man, because when you look at it, it doesn't look like a lot, but God, are they effective. And the way they line up Barkley all over the place, Ryan Clark talks about last night, you know, putting Breida in, making sure he gets some runs inside the tackles to take hits off of Barkley. It's just smart, smart football. They don't ask, you know, Jones to do too much. The receivers have played out of their minds. You know, no-name guys. I knew Hodgins because he was from Oregon State. He's been phenomenal.
Yeah.
Tight ends.
Good for
no
him.
No names.
Yeah, look at their – you talk about wide receiver one, wide receiver two, and that everybody thinks that way now because of fantasy. I mean, they don't have one.
No.
I mean, and let me stop. Hodgins has played like one, and all credit to him. I'm saying they don't have one that – no one got drafted, none of these guys.
No.
They might have gotten picked up late, them up. But all credit to them. I love the Giant fans, Steve, by the way, that chirp at me. You know, 6 years later, does he look like the number six pick now? Your team didn't pick up his option, buddy.
Yeah.
All right. Take it up with them. All I said, however many years ago when he got picked that night, was, wow, this guy didn't seem like the number six pick to me. Lost his last home game. I think it was 58-3 to Wake Forest. That's all I was saying. It's just typically that's not the profile of someone that goes this high. I've met Daniel Jones. I thought he hated me. Then we had a chance to talk at the Carolina Duke game last year in Chapel Hill, just BS briefly. You know, it's funny. I was remembering that this week. I was like, what do you think of Daboll? He's like, I like him a lot. I said, you're going to love him. I said, this thing's going to be good. I really think this is going to be good. And that combination of Daboll, the Martindale hire, and I think, could he be a head coach? He seems like the kind of guy that just knows this is the lane I'm supposed to be in. I'm great in this lane. I'll stay in it. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm thrilled for Jones because they didn't pick his option up, and now he's going to get paid. And every game he wins, it just adds to it. And now you got a chance, man, because I do that if you win a game like this against Philly or if it were Dallas, that it's in a way worth more in the playoffs because it feels like it magnifies it to me.
Oh, for sure. It's enormous. I just think about, I could be totally wrong here, but the idea of Eagles Giants always felt like the Eagles were the underdog in playoff games. You know,
that's because you're old enough to remember when that was the rep in the Eagles. And by the way, think about being in the NFC East, Steve, and being the Eagles, where Washington, Dallas, and New York all have not Lombardi. They got multiple, and you got none. And boy, we got our money's worth making fun of Eagle fans on that one. But now they've got one. And yeah, so it's a different feel for that. Although our friends this week in the back and forth, I mean, you know, Giant fans will be dusting off the old ones. Which,
oh, yeah.
That's what fans are supposed to do.
Absolutely. But I do. You mentioned Martindale. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. That's where, like, Philly, are they as good as they have been on offense? I think the Lane Johnson injury is enormous.
Totally.
Because
agree.
That's what the Giants, the difference in. Everybody talks about Jones in the offense. That defensive line, Leonard Williams, Dexter Lawrence, you want to talk about men up front? Those
adults.
Are some men.
Yeah, I hear you.
And Philly's, this is going to be a good test.
All right.
Now,
so that's
what else. No one else will mention. This is a night game at the Link. That place.
Rowy, rowy, bad. Rowy, bad. Don't be a hole. I don't know if we can play that.
They will be ready to go.
Yeah.
I know that.
No question.
They will be ready to go.
I remember that night. I remember that night when they won it. And Chris, it was them against the Vikings.
Yeah.
And they played Meek Mill.
Forget and it. That game was over.
I just remember Chris Long said anybody could have got it that night. Like, I'm talking. I mean, the fuse was lit and it was, hold up, wait a minute. Here we go.
Yeah.
That was something. Yeah. You know what? I hadn't thought about that. And I just didn't. I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
As you're fond of saying, buckle up. So
yeah.
I had written down here one seed that you're concerned about. I think it's obviously Philly looking forward to next weekend. Kansas City doesn't concern you as much, right?
No, I think Kansas City's in a great spot here, Scott. I really do. No one is talking about them.
Isn't that crazy?
It's amazing to me. Knowing what they've done, I feel like we've talked about it a lot where other people have just brushed it aside. And with Hasselbeck every Sunday, you know, with his Andy Reid, you know, experience and just pointing out all the things they've done throughout the year where they've shown they are fine on offense. Now, it helps a lot. You got 15 back there getting every snap, but just the diversity they've shown. And I'm telling you, they pieced together this defense. I think they're going to be better. There's not as many holes in it. They're more active. Jones up front is a monster. And they feed off of him and everything, you know, they all their defense is based off of what he does. So
wouldn't they much rather would have played Jacksonville. I mean, you don't want to play Herbert. You guys, no. There's fundamental understanding. They played the Chargers twice this year, two really good games. You know, the Chargers know what Arrowhead is. Mm-hmm. They're not going to blink. I feel that the Jags, whether they'd admit it or not, look at all credit to them for winning this game. Go back to how they got there. They were down. I want to say they were down 9 points or more in their last, like their last five wins, something like that. They're down big to Baltimore, down big to Dallas, and they kept getting up off the deck. And when they're down 27-0, there's a zillion things to talk about from that game.
They've exuded a lot of energy.
I agree with that.
You know?
Yes. Yes. But whatever happens Saturday in Arrowhead, Trevor Lawrence, in the playoffs for the first time in his life, had the worst 30 minutes of football he's ever had. Mm-hmm. And he didn't blink, and he came out swinging in the second half. Chargers had to participate in that. They had to help. They had to give an opening. They did. But Lawrence and the Jags took it. And that's, you know, it's just fun. It's interesting how things go. Because when people talk about chargering, I understand. Fine. But it only happens if the other team signed up for 60. If the other team didn't just decide to quit. If the other team kept punching. And the other team did. And so it's like we'd rather on somebody than give credit. And I get that. And definitely. Certainly the whole chargering piece. Yeah, you deserve what you get for that. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel like the Jags have gotten a whole lot of love for what they actually did to win. But I do still think it's house money this week and whatever. Like, I don't feel like they're dragging a whole lot of baggage with them. It's like, let's see what happens. I'm sure they'd roll their eyes at me. That's just the way I see it.
No, I'm just like, I talked about the Chiefs defense being different. I'm dying to see what Peterson does. I think the world of him is a game planner.
I know you do.
And I think we've talked about this. You look at their games and the fantasy football mentality people can't ever seem to pick the right receiver, or Ingram's like turned into a weapon. And what Peterson's going to do is attack what he thinks is that weakness in the back end. And I can't wait to see it.
I think you have to have the Ohio State against Georgia mentality. I think you have go in there and just say, all right, here's what we're going to do. If we got, you got a ball play over there, you got something. What is it? Right. Put it in the pot over here. Like, all right. Yep. All right. You want to run a reverse in our own 5-yard line? All right. Let's see. What do we got? Let's scheme it up. Let's draw it up. You got to throw haymakers. That's got to be your approach. And so
at third downs, good luck getting 15 off the field.
That doesn't happen a whole lot. But hey, man, they got 60 more minutes to play this week, and that's more than a bunch of teams from last weekend can say. Baltimore is one of those teams. Look, my affinity for them, not a secret, talked about a lot, how we feel about them organizationally. I think you saw it. You saw their DNA on display in that game. You got Huntley out there, and they're a yard and a half away from getting in. I thought Harbaugh's explanation after the loss was really interesting.
Yep.
He said it's a play where it's designed. It's got to be a Burrow play. Yep. No, not Joe Burrow. Although it does. He burrows his way in. We'll be right back from the one. But Huntley went over the top, and you know, you're up 24-17. No, you're down. And I put nothing past Joe Burrow, but their O-line was in flux that night, and they weren't moving the ball in that second half. They were about to need a drive to get even. Mm-hmm. And Hubbard makes an incredible play. What a call from Tirico. God, he was great. The Cincinnati kid, the whole bit. But I just, the day after, it's like you think of all the games, I look at that one and I think that'd be a tough one for that to be how your season ends, against a division rival with your backup quarterback, and you're a yard and a half away from taking a lead, and then you're down 7. I mean, it's the longest return in the history of the NFL. I'll just stop because I don't want to just dive right into the Bills and what they did. But what is there anything from that game that's you had mentally noted?
Yeah, it's I think people, if I read this correctly, they're going to have the same offensive line at the end of the season with, which wasn't great. Cincinnati losing Jonah Williams to a dislocated kneecap.
He played the week after that happened the first time, though, I believe. I think they're calling him. I mean, look, I'm not. I don't know.
You can't mess with that because your socket gets smaller, or I should say it expands. So the ability for it to pop out again is that much more.
Just tape it up, Steve. Just get some duct tape.
Listen,
get Gorilla Glue tape. That stuff will hold anything together.
not against the guys he's going to have coming after him. But I hear you. It sucks because it feels right. But the littlest slippage, and that's where you start getting the like non-contact thing, or like just a jolt of a hand, not even getting landed on or anything like that. It's pressure based, and it's really tough for a knee, knowing the size of him too. That's what complicates everything with that knee.
So O-line's a huge concern for Cincinnati in this game. For Buffalo, the concern's turnovers. Although I give Miami so much credit. Mm-hmm. And I give Mike McDaniel a ton of credit. And they're crushing him afterwards, like all the procedural penalties and couldn't get plays in. You got a third string quarterback. They're 14-point dogs, Steve. They're down 3 with a ball and a chance, man. What do you want? Be realistic. Be reasonable. Mm-hmm. Like, could they have gotten plays in? Yeah. And McDaniel explained afterwards.
Thought he had a first down.
Correct. And so you got your personnel grouping and your play call to run a first down play, and it's a 4th-and-1 play, and now you're out of timeouts. As it is, the play they ran was about to get blown up anyway. Mm-hmm. So the 4th and 6, frankly, was, you know, they got a second shot at it after the delay. But
what's the play clock in the flag football league?
You're allowed, the other team's defense is allowed to get their guy set.
All right.
Unless you quick snap it, and then maybe some
we gotta have some rule changes for next year. When's that come? You on that committee?
I don't know. We're still, again, Sam's in the portal, he's fielding offers. Respect my decision. The turnover thing, like, it's, I get it. Mm-hmm. Allen's turned it over a bunch, but if you watch the game, the plays that Allen gets, massive, not chunk plays, 50-yard plays, the bomb to Diggs early, this, he's looking for the same thing to Brown later, and Miami makes a great play on a ball. Mm-hmm. You're looking for Beasley. The ball stoinks off his shoulder, and they and Holland, I think it was Holland, right, makes a play.
Yeah.
There have been a bunch of turnovers that Allen's had in the red zone where I feel like he gets impatient and just – it's almost like the controller –
clock's ticking.
The controller just – I hit the wrong button. Mm-hmm. I wasn't trying to hit A. I was trying to hit B. I just freaked out. But I don't feel like those were the turnovers that were made in that game. I do think that you need to be buttoned up and clean against Cincinnati – or you're going to be in trouble, because neither of those teams have lost in a long time. And, you know, we get the game we were going to get the night of the Hamlin injury, and mm-hmm. his recovery continues to be just great news all around. But as pissed off as I think I mentally got over I'm going to make it clear. The most important thing was the Hamlin injury and dealing with it. But the way the AFC got sorted out with like this coin flip thing with Kansas City and Buffalo, because Buffalo had beaten them and earned the right to have home field if they ended up with the same record. Well, Cincinnati could have ended up with the same thing too, and now they got to go to Buffalo. And
yeah.
You know, how that works doesn't feel fair either. I just really like both of these teams. Both of their coaches, who they are as humans, I think was elevated in the eyes of everyone. The way Zach Taylor and Sean McDermott dealt with the situation that Monday night in Cincinnati, and the way both those teams dealt with it, I think was incredible. But now what's cool is now we got to play, and we're going to play, and the stakes are higher than they were in that game. And each team's got some things to be concerned about going in, but each team has enough that they're going to lean into the confidence of, if we're right, then we're playing next weekend to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. One thing I was wondering, because I got lost in the whole neutral site deal. Why isn't this game the neutral site game?
That's my point. That was the conversation people were having about, well, why aren't we playing in Atlanta for this one?
Yeah.
Well, because Buffalo's record was better than Cincinnati's. And do I have that right? I don't. You know what? I'm just going to do something that people that do what we do mostly don't do and say, I can't remember. I don't know. I read it and I know there's a reason. But there's not a great reason.
Yeah.
Because it was enough of a thing where I thought, that doesn't seem fair for Cincinnati. Why aren't they pitching? They should be complaining more. I mean, they'd have every right to complain more based on the way it all got shaken out. No, they didn't have to flip a coin for Baltimore, but like, why are we in Buffalo? And again, I read something, I forget. Sorry, everyone.
It's all good.
You're on the internet. You can just Google it. Look on Twitter. Look at your timeline.
Vivid Seats wants you to get to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step towards a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code SVP. That's code SVP. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I've got some sort of post-mortem things on some people here. I saw Lombardi got fired as the OC with the Chargers, and it looks like Staley's going to maybe maintain his gig with the Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting because I saw everybody at that Saturday night on Twitter. No, it was official that already he had been replaced.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not.
No.
Apparently not, which is interesting. Maybe they feel organizationally we just make a change at the OC. We like who Staley is as our guy. Mm-hmm. Okay, doesn't trouble me one way or another. But that job not being available makes me ask you, I see every day the names that are in the mix, and there are a lot of interesting names. Of all the jobs that are currently available, and I say currently because a job normally opens at a weird time and you go, whoa, I didn't see that coming. What job do you think is if you're Peyton and now the Chargers isn't available with Herbert, is there one that you go, ooh, that's that I want that one?
I look at the people laugh. After watching last night, if that's a division winner, give me Carolina. They got pieces on defense. They got other pieces. Like, we could piece this thing together, and we're in the mix. Because if that is that's your division winner, I'll take my chance at that division.
Okay, all right. And I mean, I don't know. The Tepper piece is interesting. You got an entrepreneurial billionaire type guy that, you know, I think he's interested. He wants to be great.
Yeah.
But okay,
yeah.
You don't worry about, I mean, look, everybody, if you're the Texans, you got a quarterback question. If you're Carolina, you got a quarterback question. If you're Denver, you have a quarterback question. That question is, what did we sign up for here?
Yeah.
Signed up for more than
60 with that contract.
Jobs come open for a reason. It's not because everything went great last year. So I just was curious what you thought.
I've just reading what I've read, talked to people that I talked to, the Houston Texans could be the worst run organization in sports.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't want anything to do with that.
Yeah, I mean, look what they did the last 2 years.
I mean,
what took like Cully and Lovey
on?
I don't know. I mean, they've changed up some stuff. I mean, there's stories. I mean, look up the Easter Bay stuff. It's wild.
Yeah,
I mean, there's 32 of these things, and one of them's being run like this.
Correct.
What are we doing?
Yeah, you could.
They
have
got
that
a ton of assets, man. Ton of assets.
Oh wait, the Colts are open. I'd say Colts over Carolina. Sorry about that.
What about their quarterback situation?
Just wheel them in.
Okay, that works great.
Yeah,
this year was a monstrous step back in quarterback. I thought around the league. And the recognition of you'd better have somebody that can give you a chance.
Yep.
I mean, a third of the games last week, you had Huntley and you had Skylar Thompson. And they both had, and you missed, well.
Three third stringers.
That's true. And both, one of them hasn't lost a start, and the other two lost by single digits, both covered. Again, no big deal. But that makes the market for a guy like Brady interesting. Because quarterback play was so lousy and there were so many who started games. And Brady, the thing about a conversation now, it feels like it's hard for people to be reasonable because it's not enough to just say he isn't what he was. You got to say someone's garbage or washed or, you know, you got to use the most demonstrative, aggressive, dismissive adjectives to describe somebody.
Yeah.
And I'll say this. I watched them a lot where I thought those things weren't far from being accurate because I just can't. I lost count of how many ground balls across the middle, short and a yard and a half behind guys I saw. It happened a lot on Monday night.
Yeah.
He threw it 66 times and had 31 incompletions. Both were career highs. And so I feel like a more reasonable way to say it is, I think Brady's still one of the top, I don't know, is it 15 quarterbacks or what? Probably.
Mm-hmm.
But is that enough for him? And I say this with sincerity. I mean, given what he was willing to risk to play again, and I mean, like, we all know what happened in his life. I mean, what a sad situation to have happen. I mean, yeah. Your marriage breaks up. I think because you could still keep playing football. So if your appetite to keep doing this is that, and now you're no longer a couple. Well, then what are you going to decide now? You're going to quit? Forget that. You keep playing, I would think, because that's just how you're wired competitively. So, you know, is it enough to be one of the top, I don't know, 15 quarterbacks? Well, what else am I going to do? I mean, I guess you could go work at Fox for a zillion dollars.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just get the sense from the people that I talk to and respect that he's playing somewhere and there'll be a market. But I guess this is a lot of words, and I'm sorry, I'm rambling, to just ask you, what is he now? What do you see when you watch him play?
I think a top 15 quarterback, maybe 15, but it's obviously not what it was. But also, like, just look at the situation. I didn't think they reacted to the possibility of Gronk being gone. I thought that was big because you saw how important he was, and they drafted some young guys. That hasn't panned out. The offensive line obviously took its toll.
Yep.
And, you know, they don't have, you know, there was never, think about the years, you know, it was Edelman, it was Welker. It wasn't that guy, you know, that guy that, you know, third down guy. And I don't know, the construction of the team, I think he probably got upset at that. But I was just going to ask you, do you think it's taken more time to realize he wants to play or retire or the situation he wants to find?
That's interesting. I would guess it's trying to find the right fit.
Me too.
Because it's more, yeah, I want to play. And I think he's demonstrated that he still can.
Yes.
To the level of all, like, his peak? No. It's not how life works. No.
He did say way back 45 was the number, and he's 45.
It got there.
You know?
But if I'm him, and I had the hellish year I had, I want to know what's our coaching situation. Mm-hmm. Who am I throwing it to?
Correct.
What's my left tackle to right tackle look like across the board? What are we doing?
Yeah, the important things.
And if you're him, you're one of the rare people in sports for whom organizations will bend. Mm-hmm. Ask you what it is you want / need, even at this point. But is he? I guess that's the part that I'm struggling with, because there's just so much tape of him looking just beaten up by the moment and walking off after yet another three and out where it's three not great throws. And I get, okay, the line's not good. You got Mike Evans and Chris Godwin.
Yeah,
we're talking about the Giants, like Evans and Godwin.
Mm-hmm.
Got Lenny Fournette behind you running around, although you never handed to him. They ran it like eight times. It's just because it's Brady. He's earned a different sort of a runway than anyone else to ponder these types of things. And it's, I don't know. He's coming off a game where they were just absolutely not competitive, which wasn't some stunner. There's just so many examples of that throughout this year where that's what they look like. And that's what he looked like. And just makes me shrug and wonder. I mean, let people in on a little secret. I went to the doctor on Tuesday because I'm going to get hearing aids. You know why? Because I can't hear. And I went to an audiologist like 5 years ago. It was awesome. He was like an SVP and Rosillo junkie. Awesome. Nice. Dude. And he was great. Cause I think he just had license to be very matter of fact with me. He's like, all right, so here's the thing. You don't hear real well. But you're not going to get hearing aids cause you're vain and you think it's like it means you're old and elderly person bordering on death. And so you won't get them. But here's the thing. It's not going to get better. Okay. You're getting older. And so part of this is hereditary. Part of this is that you have headphones on your head, blah, blah, blah. He's like, and then here's what you're going to do. In about 5 years, you're going to come in, you're going to go, I need some hearing aids. And so I went in and I told the doctor, I said, look, I'm not here to find out if I can't hear. I can't hear. I'm here to help you, ask you to help me figure out what I won't lose, what I might be able to keep tabs on, and what won't be that clunky thing that I'll look at and go, oh boy, I really am someone's peepaw. What all of this has to do with Brady is you can do Tom against time. It ain't going to get better.
No.
You know, you can dig in your heels and you can hold it off as long as you want, but it's coming, man. Regression is coming for everyone in whatever it is we do. And it's no fun to contemplate. So I wonder, you know, as I'm going in to get these big old horn up. What'd you say? I've said this before. God, my grandpa, God bless him, bald-headed guy, couldn't hear. I heckled him for both things. Here I am, bald and deaf. You get it. He gets. It's all coming around, kids. I don't know if this is what Brady is. Somebody will want him. I don't know. Is there like some magical elixir where he suddenly becomes the 2010 version? No, that's not how life works, sadly, for anyone. I think I've checked off everything I had from my list of stuff. I'm sure you have things I didn't get to.
I got one more thing.
I have one more thing, too. It's completely unrelated to any of this. Go ahead.
Okay. I think I have a big-time money idea.
Well, why share it with people here? Let's talk about it privately.
Well, we need a lot of people involved.
Oh, is it like a Ponzi scheme?
No. Remember the video VHS videos like you could buy, and you would recap your championship season, and sure. Then Fred McGriff, Tom Amansky instructional video.
Sure.
Okay. Here's the idea.
All right.
I'm NFL referees, give me an instructional video about what defensive guys are supposed to do when they get to the quarterback and they don't have to get a flag. Show me how you could sack a quarterback without getting a flag, because it is insane.
You'll levitate, Steve. You levitate. You suspend the laws of gravity and you don't land on him with your full weight. Only some of your weight.
I'm just so tired of saying what you can't do. Show me what you can do.
Yeah, that's I don't
get
know.
All the refs, get them in some shoulder pads, get the dummies out there.
Yeah, you show me that. Show me what Mr. Boger, Jerome. Yeah. Show me how to do it, buddy.
And the NFL refs, you could get all the money. Just show us. Think people won't buy that to see what is possible, and the idea of referees tackling other referees? That'd be great.
There's real iffy stuff with that. It's not even iffy. It's just you're asking people to do something that's not.
Show me what they are supposed to do. That's what I want to see.
Yeah.
Because all you say is everything is wrong, and that's a flag.
15. And those are penalties that typically change.
And we're only going to see more of them.
Entire games. Yeah. There's some iffy ones this weekend. That's the sad thing is that we've got, there's a lot of sad things. There's only 7 more football games. But there'll be some calls this weekend, best weekend of football of the year, that we'll be lamenting next week, which we'll hate. But let's enjoy this weekend, because the games
are
absolutely fantastic.
Correct.
I want to talk about Legos. I've spent... kids were off on Monday. Weather wasn't great here. You try to figure out what are we going to do? My kids are like, Daddy, what sports are on? I'm like, well, we actually got some games. But if I turn the TV on and we start watching.
We ain't moving.
Purdue, Michigan State. By the way, that game was awesome.
Yeah.
Edie, National Player of the Year. Mark it down. Who's beating him? Nobody. We can't just watch games all day. So my daughter it's a horse trailer set. And so she asked, could I go up? Like, hey, can we do Legos? Yeah. Several hours later, they're in bags now, which.
Oh, and they're numbered.
Correct. 1 through 8 in this particular set. This is an extensive build. And I'm trying to think back in our day, it was just a box and you dumped them out.
No bags.
Nothing. You figured it out. You eyeballed it and we need a red one or a blue one. But I guess what I want to do is 2 things. A, I want to say to the Lego people, bravo. There's a strange satisfaction in the completion of a bag, you feel like, okay, we're making some headway. It's tedious work, though. I don't understand why we have these little tiny things that go underneath, and we it's like page after page after page. And then what do? We take one giant blue square and put it on the whole thing. And now all that work that I've just done is covered up. And you know what I realized? I didn't need to do any of it. I could have just put this blue thing on, and we could have just kept on moving, man. But I applaud the directions. It's all very laid out. There is this satisfaction of the accomplishment when you're done.
Yep.
You do it together with your kids. A lot of fun. We're talking about life and what's going on, this and that. Then we're done, and we have a cool car, with some stickers that we've put on it, and then what do? Where do we put it somewhere?
Because you just look at it.
You know what you can't do? You can't move that car. You can't do the car.
It's got no remote control either.
Well, we got those in the basement, see? And then what Charlie will do is he'll take the remote control car and he'll drive it into the Lego car, and then the Lego car explodes, and now we got to put it back together. And now we got problems, because now we got to just eyeball it like we did back in the 70s.
I was gonna say, instructions are in the garbage. Bags are in the garbage.
Long gone, brother. But I guess the answer is what my daughter's done. Is she's got these elaborate builds that have been completed, and it's just all over the shelves. And you just appreciate the art, because they're artistic.
Yeah.
All right. There we go. That's
you need another room. You need another wing for
you
Lego.
You truly do. And you need a different room for construction. Because if you end up with a bunch of Legos on tables and you have boys, then they start breaking. Now what we got, now we've got, get people that out there that don't want their food to be like touch each other. I don't care. That's why my Thanksgiving plate, I've always told you, first plate, potatoes, stuffing, corn.
That's why you love Chipotle. Just turkey, throw it all in there.
Boom. It's fine. We can mix it all up. That, you know what that work does not work for? Legos.
No.
See, some people are weird. Not, I shouldn't say weird. You're not weird. You like what you like. Some people do not want stuff to touch each other. Well, the Legos from the horse trailer build cannot blend in with the beach house build, because now I got tiny little things that don't go together.
Mm.
And then one falls on the floor. It's instructive, though, because it teaches you patience. And it's more, and that just means more time with your kids. But we did the bill with my daughter, and then my son was like, "It's absolutely not. You're coming with me, Pops. We're building a car." And we did. So there was a good solid 5 hours of Lego building on Monday. We came in and did a show. Try to entertain America.
Did you step on any?
That's the thing that everyone,
the worst, yeah, it's the thing that everybody, thing in the world.
Everybody talks about, cause, and it's right. I mean, if you do, there's a pain that's uncommon.
To your point, that's why you need a different room.
Right. We do a really good job of eyeballing the floor and making sure that doesn't happen.
Okay.
Because it only needs to happen once, where you get a corner in your foot late at night when they're asleep, and then you wake them up and they're terrified because you make a noise that is, you know, mm-hmm. you make when you step on a Lego. No good. It only has to happen once. People figure it out. So, okay. Shout out to the Legos folks. This is the part where it's the end, and I don't know what to do.
Bye.
Thanks for listening.